You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Billy Gill will be scampering into position in just a moment to chronicle all the things happening on First Take, where Chris Russo has arrived for the day. Kevin Durant, Stugatz, blaspheming against you, and Chris Russo called him... Max the boxing guy or the new baseball guy, Mad Dog, or whatever his name is.
Enough. I mean, he clearly knows and watches the show if he knows those details.
Yep.
CJ McCollum has voiced already that ESPN is working him too hard. It has been 2 days.
Get used to it. I mean,
you're in those Seaport studios in the morning. You will be on Get Up, First Take, The Max Kellerman Show, which I only know as The Max Kellerman Show.
Yep.
There's an NBA Today hit to do. Like, they, if you get the Jalen and Jacoby, if you get the day rate, get put to work.
I mean, but you think you're going in for a little radio hit on the morning show, and the next thing you know, you're on Baseball Tonight 12 hours later. I mean.
I miss Baseball Tonight. I don't even care about baseball, I just miss the jingle.
The best, yes.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you miss Baseball Tonight? And Guillermo, do you miss Baseball Tonight?
I do. It was actually the saddest part of one of our Bristol visits, where we realized that the Baseball Tonight studio had been converted into, like, cubicles for people.
Yeah.
So, like, you had the baseball field on the floor, and then there was just cubicles there with, like, random people's stuff. It was so sad.
Because even the one Baseball Tonight show that they do is live from where they're doing Sunday Night Baseball, right? Like, they're not even, like, it's like a set on the field, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
But that show was so good. It was so great. Like, the first time I walked into that studio, I had pictures of it with my daughters. I had goosebumps, man.
Well, you slept there. Isn't that where you did the 24-hour marathon when you did it? It was on the Baseball Tonight studio.
Yes. I didn't sleep, but yes, that's where I stayed.
What a magical time that was.
Do you guys remember those 24 hours fondly? Were you there at the time that Stugatz was at in Bristol doing that show with Mike Golic Jr., 24 hours on television for no good reason?
I was there year two when Stugatz already used his clout to get out of it, and it was Gojo and Sarah Spain.
Yes.
And we were kind of just peeking into Fantasy Island and the inflatable penguins and all the things that they had on the baseball.
Less glamorous than you imagine, right, Stugatz? All your dreams come true, and next thing you know, you're at a green screen with an inflatable tube, not on real water, in a studio that's been converted 7 times for Baseball Tonight and everything else, and it's not quite the dream
still
you imagine.
Still with the infield dirt, though, yeah.
Yeah, oddly, I was still, for the first time, I was, just the first time, I was still happy to be there. It was still cool.
I liked it.
I had a moment with Trey Wingo in the bathroom. I had a moment with Adam Schefter in a shower.
Hell yeah.
What?
There's nothing like walking through the hallway and having Kevin Negandhi get excited to see you when you're like, how does this person know who I am? Great hugger, Kevin Negandhi. Yeah. I'll say that about him.
He hugged you upon meeting him?
Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah. Yes. He was excited to see us. I was like, how do you know who I am? You're Kevin Negandhi.
How did he smell?
Oh, amazing. How do you think he smelled?
Cologne.
Yeah.
Think of how good you thought he smelled, and it was like 100 times that.
Wow, yeah. Roy holding his hand way over his head.
Oh, man.
It was just wonderful. Smelled like television, smelled like money.
Man.
Stugatz recounting that he, or Billy recounting that Stugatz used his leverage to get out of doing year two of the fantasy marathon, has made me question whether I want to achieve my dreams or not. Because
why?
If I do, and I just like, and then I just start complaining.
Yeah.
Like if I get to call the World Cup final, and then I get to the stadium, be like, this press box sucks, craft services sucks, this is too much work, And you get there, and it's like, well, what is even the point
exactly
of achieving your dreams if you're just going to get there and be like, well, here's all the things that are wrong with it.
The dream was never to host a fantasy football marathon and stay up all night.
You're the center of attention in Bristol. You did a big thing in Bristol.
And it was great. I enjoyed it. I wanted to be the guy telling you which quarterback to take in the fourth round. I mean, that's what I wanted to do.
You want to be Matthew Berry?
Well, kind of, yeah. Yes.
Without doing any of the work of being Matthew Berry.
Exactly right.
I've often thought about what my address would be at a graduation if I was ever invited to give one. And now having this conversation, I'm thinking about it. It should be like, kids, don't achieve your dreams. Or if you do, do it at a slow and steady pace. Because you lived your whole life up until this point dreaming of one thing. And if you achieve it too quickly, then you need to figure out a new dream. You know what I mean? And you don't want to go through that whole thing. And then once you get to that first dream, it's like, this dream wasn't really that great after all. Is my next dream going to be that good? Do I even want that next dream?
So arrive at your dreams late in life is what
exactly,
you're
saying. If ever.
Right. Jessica, what do your sports dreams look like? Your sports career dreams as you hear this advice from these curmudgeons as Stugatz rejects. I love Stugatz is the center of attention in Bristol, but not the way he wanted.
I enjoyed it for the year,
but then you begged out of it and decided never to do it again because, in part, it wasn't what you imagined. You were in a cold studio for 24 hours, and you were made to be the fantasy clown.
Yes.
And they'd go in there, and you'd have an inflatable tube around your waist, and you're like, I want to be Matthew Berry, credible fantasy guy.
Exactly right. It's weird. I had already realized the dream by the time I had gotten to the fantasy football. My dream was to be a sports radio host.
Yeah, see?
Dan and I were already doing it.
You did it too young.
You're right.
Yeah.
There's something to that, Billy. It's like you get desensitized early on by like some of the cool things you get to do. And I've been lucky that people that have hired me have trusted me to do cool things pretty early on in my career. But now I feel like sort of blasé about things that I probably would have been really jazzed about when I was in college. You
really?
Know what I mean?
In your 20s?
Yeah, like she probably goes now like next year or maybe not next year.
We're
but
getting
like,
jaded in our 20s now?
Yeah.
Faster jaded?
Like let's say there was a Super Bowl in Antarctica, right? Jess probably was like, I couldn't wait to cover a Super Bowl, but now I'd be like, I don't want to go.
Well, she went to the one in Minnesota. She's already crossed that one off.
And I was like, you know what? I didn't have to go to this one either. But I mean, there is something to be said for that, Billy. It's like you get to do some cool things, and then you're like, wow, this thing was cool, and I hadn't done it yet, and now I've done it. And now it's like, well, how do we make it even cooler? And
exactly.
Then eventually you spend all your energy trying to keep doing each subsequent thing bigger and bigger until you run out of energy to do it at all.
Overachieving.
Eat at Arby's.
Overrated.
Ooh.
Just achieve.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is overachieving overrated? Billy will go out in a second to check in on First Take, but even my father was engaged in the Stephen A. Smith conversation of takery as C.J. McCollum. You still haven't seen it, Stugatz, but it went viral specifically because Stephen A. Smith had no answer for two new guys who were there and were holding him to account.
Right.
On, you just said something, defend it. You just said, for no good reason, you didn't like Russell Westbrook being at the press conference that supports his new coach in the organization he works for because it's easy to rip Russell Westbrook.
Sure.
He's the new guy to rip, and there don't have to be any consequences to ripping him, and they just held him there. They made him squirm in that. Answer for yourself here. Why would that be a bad thing for Russell Westbrook to go to the press conference that Darvin Ham is? I mean, what world could that be a bad thing, except in a world where you have to make television and things have to be bad things?
Right. It's his new coach. He's being respectful. He's showing up. He's supporting the new coach. He's doing all the right things. Good for those guys for challenging Stephen A. This is what I wonder, though, with Stephen A. If the ratings go up as a result, because you have Durant tweeting about it, you have athletes
on
there. Yes,
he will appreciate it.
Will he care, called out and embarrassed if the ratings go up?
Stugatz,
I don't think he will.
What I'm telling you is the descent of old media when Draymond says, it's the last cry of the dinosaurs, is
right.
We'll give you our credibility. It doesn't even matter. Just give us the clicks. We'll do whatever we can at the end to stay relevant for the clicks, even if it means losing arguments against players, even if it means Colin Cowherd dragging John Wall again for no good reason. Even if it means Skip Bayless daily as a 70-year-old who says this is more important than his marriage, saying I've got to win at the end the argument The last embers of the dinosaur is, yes, Draymond Green wins. Young people win. The next evolution win, but not before we get our ratings trafficking on the last embers of this.
But I also think that Stephen A. Smith, more than any pundit in American sports television, backs himself even in the face of a credibility disparity. Like, he has not played professional sports, but he still argues with those guys, even in the argument in which people say that he lost and got embarrassed. Like, he does not back down from arguing against Kevin Durant, one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
It's what he wants. It's the show he wants to do.
Correct, but it's also like he has the confidence to pull it off. Like, I think even in what was perceived as a losing argument, which, by the way, I don't think it's necessarily a losing argument to say, weird look for Russell Westbrook to be there, as it's very clear that they're going to talk about him. Like, that was awkward. It was undeniably awkward when Darvin Ham is answering a question about Russell Westbrook, and Russell Westbrook is stood in the back of the room, maniacally grinning about, like, things that are being said. He's still got a ton left in the tank.
The power move.
Like, Darvin Ham laid it on thick. It was weird. And I think it's okay for Stephen A. Smith to point out, that's pretty weird, huh?
Well, he said he didn't like it, is what he said. He didn't like it. Don't like it. And they just asked him to defend not liking it, and he didn't say that.
I think Kevin Durant's, like, playing with all of us. Like, I think he's trolling us. I think that he does not actually get as bothered by Stephen A. as he pretends to. Remember when there was that whole thing with Letterman where he was pretending not to know who Letterman was, and then sure enough, he's on Letterman's show on Netflix? I think this is just like...
Oh, Jesus.
Are you okay? Bless you.
Jesus, Papa, you heard that.
Yeah,
bless you.
Are you stunned that that sneeze comes out of my father? Even though
that's a good move, Bobby.
My father has put his mask up, even though it's much time after the sneeze, and Jessica is in another room. But it does feel like it could come. The size of that could come through a soundproof glass.
There's an air conditioner blowing air up my nose right now. Yeah. It's so cold and miserable.
Boy. You can try and muffle it though while Billy is making a point.
I literally could not. Actually, do that.
She has no control over it. Once it seizes
her. Well, most people
her,
don't. I mean, yeah. It's hard to stifle a sneeze.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Are you good at stifling sneezes?
That one was so big, my eyeballs would have fallen out if
yes.
I tried to hold
yes,
it.
Yes, that's happened.
What do you mean it's happened?
Well, I didn't think we were going to follow that. I felt like it was going to happen before. I popped blood vessels before from sneezes holding them in, like under my eyes.
Not good for you. You just got to let it out.
Yeah. What, are you CJ McCollum now? I mean, who's Jesus, checking Billy like that?
Like he just said.
He said a ridiculous thing.
No, I'm trying to support him.
I thought. We begin the show with Mike wanting that support from you so badly. And you're supporting her on, I've sneezed so much that my eyeballs have fallen out. And I didn't think they were your eyeballs, but I thought that perhaps you had read some facts somewhere that suggested that it was possible. And it sounds like it might be for one time in one place for someone to have a loose
it's
eyeball
happened for
that,
sure.
that pops
for sure,
out with yeah. a sneeze. Put that on the poll at Levitard Show. Do you think it's ever happened in history that someone has sneezed and their eyeball has fallen out?
I thought Billy was saying I sneezed so hard his eyeballs came out.
That's what I meant.
Poppy, are you shocked by Jessica's sneeze? I found it shocking. Correct answer. Wow. That is correct.
We have previous with Jessen sneezing on Mike. Here's a previous incident of her sneezing.
Thank you.
Wow.
It's extraordinary. It's
you get the most out of your sneezes. You really do.
Thank you.
Yep.
You can't play that enough. It is a roller coaster ride of allergy.
Thank you.
It's a textbook sneeze. I mean, it is.
You could be a sneeze model, Jessica.
Oh my God, that is my career goal, Dan. You asked me what I want to do in sports media.
Don't do it too young, though, because
exactly.
then you'll get over sneezing.
He gets it.
I'll be a Foley artist for sneezing.
We had a behind the scenes kind of argument break out after while you guys were talking about KD or whatever, where it was about first class. And I...
Because I said, to the point of achieving your dreams too early, the first time I sat in first class, I was upgraded for like $90. And it was like, woof, I'm going out $90 here, sitting first class. This is going to be an unbelievable experience. Yeah. And it was. It was a two-hour flight to Nashville. I was served a drink. It was absolutely wonderful. But I very quickly realized I can't get used to this.
Yeah.
Because at some point, I'm going to sit in 27D again, and I can't be like, oh, first class. how I miss it so.
It's hard to go back.
Like, you have to ration, or I have to ration at my young age, my enjoyment of first class, because then I will get used to it, and then I can't sit back in, you know, with the people again.
The hardest thing is not being poor. The hardest thing is being rich and then being poor.
But then Billy made a ridiculous argument in which he said that he didn't even like first class.
Wait.
Yeah,
Christ ridiculous Almighty. How?
You said you didn't even like it.
Well, that's true. I didn't like it that much. I only sat in first class like one time, and I was uncomfortable halfway through.
Why?
Because I just felt like I was like on airs, like I was above the people behind me, and I just didn't like the feeling. When I went to the bathroom, I even walked all the way to the back of the plane, and then people got mad at me for doing it. They're like, "That's not our bathroom. That's not your bathroom." I mean, yeah. Maybe that didn't happen.
Wow, you guys, none of you believe that.
I don't remember that that way.
I feel like what you're paying for mostly in first class is just the ability to have 7 or 10 people use that shitty bathroom as opposed to 100 of them.
Well, the appeal of first class is for longer flights, but that's when it also costs more money. So, like, first class on a 2-hour flight to Nashville isn't the same as flying first class to, like, London or something.
How do you
guys... They're going to give you the champagne, and they're going to really... Oh, my... The bed. You get to go
vertical.
Every
time I see someone in a bed on a plane, it just looks absolutely majestic. Like, I yearn to have enough money at some point to sit in an area where you can lie completely flat. Never experienced it before. I don't even know how I would have access to it. It seems... wonderful.
I will tell you that JetBlue Mint is the most amazing thing ever. The room, you have like a room. It's nicer than my room at home. Wow. Like, that's how nice it is. Mint JetBlue across the country, California, dead shows, unbelievable.
Tony said that he had one of those beds on his way to Thailand.
Said that off mic, did he?
Yeah,
I did, but again, Jess has to remember to turn on my mic. But yeah, Dan, I was
Tony,
seat 1A and seat 1B on the way back.
Jesus.
It was incredable. 12 hours to...
No, I love that you guys...
It was Seattle to Japan. That was like 11 and a half hours.
It's too much. You'd get bed sores, wouldn't
you? No, it's actually really nice.
What? Bed sores?
You know what happened on a flight once?
Wait, so you had both seats? I mean...
No. Well, my wife... We had a partition where I would open it and close it. My wife would be on the other side. I'm saying I was 1A on the way there, 1B on the way back.
Like, how does that go?
I closed it pretty early, and then she kept opening it, and I was like... I'm trying to watch a movie, and you know.
Yeah, that seems like it'd be awkward if you're like, it's Tony time, you know?
I'm a front sleeper. Like, I sleep on my stomach. And one time I got upgraded on business class for a transatlantic flight. And so I couldn't fall asleep laying flat on my back on the flight. So I laid face down on the chair horizontal. Oh. It was very disgusting. I slept for like 9 hours.
You are super strange.
Sugats, I mean.
Can you imagine walking through an airplane and someone is trying to sleep and they're sleeping with their back to you because they've decided they're going to put their face in a headrest where seven people that day who haven't washed their hair have sat flying back and forth from here to New York.
It was actually from Johannesburg to New York. It was a rough flight. And I was like very sick too. I just like did not feel good. So I was, and like the seat didn't go all the way down because it was business class, not first class. So it was like a little inverted. Like there was
you were
a little
diagonal?
Lap. No, I was face down, but I was like inverted. So like my legs were up higher and my head was up higher. But like
your stomach was off the ground.
My stomach was like in the crevice of the seat. It was like I was doing like a Superman
like where your butt
stretch.
Should be, right?
That
seems terrible. You're gonna wake up 6 hours later feeling terrible.
Yeah.
That is something you will not be able to do later in life physically. It's a terrible idea all around. Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Do you sleep on your stomach?
Huh.
I'm concerned for your back. Like, that is...
Me too, yeah.
Like, I'll play, like, FIFA lying on my stomach for a half hour, and then I get up from it, I need to stretch. My lower back is undone by being on my stomach for like
well, doing
less
it
than
that
hour.
Way is terrible for your back. You didn't a long distance flight where you're sleeping on your stomach and you're sleeping as if you're the top of an inverted triangle.
When's Genesis coming back?
That would explain why every time Genesis comes, you flee. Flee whatever you're doing so you can get just a little bit of a stretch.
It seems like it would also be worse for your back sleeping on your stomach, I would think.
Oh, it's definitely really bad. You're supposed to sleep on your side or on your back. You're not supposed to sleep on your stomach, allegedly.
And you just can't? You can't?
I just can't. I'm so... Well, because, Dan, so, like, I have, like, a really cozy pillow, and I put my arm under it, and then my phone... Like, I hold my phone in it, and I watch the TikToks while I doze off. And then I just kind of, like, slowly nod off. And then my phone falls... And then it's on my bed, and then I'm asleep.
Wait a second. Did you diagram this? Like,
yeah, there's a picture here. So Jess drew, so like feet up, belly in the middle, head up. It's like a V-shaped.
It doesn't even make sense.
And like, I don't know how her spine was ripped in half when she stood up.
The only thing that can sleep that way is one of those inflatable things in front of car dealerships that waves in the wind.
Oh, the wacky inflatable arm man. I do a good impression of one. This is for the video audience.
Oh, God. Okay. For here we go. Looks like she's doing the wave.
Yeah.
Dan, you're right.
Oh, that's so pretty damn good.
It is pretty good.
That's actually pretty damn good.
That's a really good impersonation.
It's haunting. It looks a bit haunting.
Can we add that to the Suey, even though there's no sound?
With a scale of 1 to 10, how excited were you when she started to diagram that?
Very excited. Billy, any diagram, any drawing of anything, I'm here for it.
Billy is getting into position in the kitchen where Mad Dog is holding court. Poppy, do you have any? You had some thoughts, I thought, on Stephen A. Smith. I don't know what it is. You were saying something before we turned on the microphones about your colleague, your former colleague, Stephen A. Smith.
Well, I'm glad that someone's challenging for a change. You know, he talks. He doesn't let anybody else talk. So, yeah. You know, but again, you know, you gotta analyze the whole thing on the basis of ratings. You know, if the ratings have went up, so, you know, he accomplished his purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So,
Poppy, you were a ratings driver once. So yeah.
Well, say I wasn't aware.
No, of course you were. Yeah. We all know.
Well, my father has opinions on much of the stuff we've talked about, though, because he strong-armed ESPN into getting into his contract first-class travel.
That a boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I ever get a first class?
You got first class travel. You never used it, though, because you never went anywhere.
It's not about using it.
It's about getting it.
Yeah, they gave me a pacifier, but they never flew me anyplace. So, you know.
That's right. They tried to shut up when you were complaining about your contract. They gave you first class, and you were snookered by them. You didn't realize, well, this doesn't mean anything. I'm not going to be going anywhere.
That's right.
So you use your bargaining collateral on getting first class, and then you didn't end up actually exercising not what a you single negotiated?
Flight. Not a one. Single flight. I was grounded here.
Your rate
in Miami.
Instead.
That's right. Yeah. Hmm. So what can I tell you? That's the way the cookie crumbles.
My father got it right that time. One time when we were younger, it was that's the way the cookie bounces.
Yes.
It's the way that it arrives.
Well, that's true.
Billy, are you prepared? Is Billy in position to give us a Mad Dog update here? Stugatz, how do you feel about all of it? Because it will be good for ratings. All that matters, it's not a terrible descent for First Take if it's just guys going on there and Stephen A. all of a sudden losing some of these fights.
I don't think Stephen A. minds losing some of the fights as long as they're fights. That's what he wants. He wants a debate. He wants to be challenged. He's okay with being challenged, and I think he's particularly okay with it when he's challenged by guys who played in the NBA, and one guy in particular who's currently playing at a very high level in the NBA, CJ McCollum. I think Stephen A., I don't know him the way you do, Dan, but I know him a little bit, wants to argue, wants to be challenged, and loves ratings. Doesn't care if he's the star. He is the star. It's his show, regardless of what happens. But that will help with ratings, I think.
Stugatz, I don't know how many people there are who do this, whether it's 10, 20, 30, whoever it is that gets to be the guys that you think of or the women that you think of in the argument field. But they are aging. And they are competitive.
Yeah.
And they are not going to cede their ground just because Draymond Green and meritocracy and democracy has arrived in. No, if you're going to be at the trough and you want to be heard, you got to be better than everybody, more informed. You got to be smarter. You got to give information that's better. You have to be someone who can not only deliver it, but isn't going to get unmasked because you can argue so well in the argument culture that no one will dispute your bona fides when J.J. Redick is arguing. It's not just that he's good at television, Stugatz. It's that he's armed with advanced data, and he knows how to do this, and he heads into the fight with Stephen A. jubilantly.
Hey, Dan, it's Billy. I'm in the kitchen.
So real quick, what's going on here? Mad Dog has that look in his eye today. I don't know if you know what I mean, but he just has like that mischievous look in his eye. He'll kind of like lift one of his eyebrows. Like he looks like he's there to bother JJ Redick because JJ's had a go at Mad Dog the past couple of weeks. Now, these are the points that Mad Dog has brought up. They're talking about the finals. They're talking about Draymond Green. For some reason, they were showing the old Knicks versus Heat fight from like 20 years ago because they're talking about toughness in the NBA right now. Mad Dog said that Draymond could not be on the 85 Lakers. And then he started asking around, do you think that Draymond could be on the 85 Lakers? No one said yes. He then also brought up that there weren't three officials back in the day. There was only two officials, so people played tougher. And then he said that Draymond wouldn't even have been on the Detroit team with Rodman, Sally, and James Edwards. Then Stephen A. says that he likes to spar with Mad Dog, but that he's making him side with J.J. Redick today. J.J. Redick just has this look about him. Dan, I don't know if you can see him right now. At one point, Stephen A. compared him to Tom Cruise. For some reason, I didn't quite understand that. But J.J. has a look today like Mad Dog stole his soul or his essence, let's say. Like, he looks like he just doesn't want to be there. There's nothing behind his eyes. And it's all because of Mad Dog and his grin and the things that he's saying. Back to you.
I love that Mad Dog's lane is whoever we're talking about couldn't have played for a team in the 80s.
It's been his lane since the 80s.
I mean, it as a lane. Just arguments that can't be lost because you're arguing about your memories. You have people fighting against your memories.
JJ and CJ, Dan, this is going to be interesting. They still have to present. Yes, they have the data. They're playing. They have the credibility. It still needs to be entertaining. Like, you have to be entertaining. And what I'm really interested to see is if those guys are going to be willing to call. And you have to give hot takes. I don't care what anyone says. The hot take needs to be given every now and then, and you'll have to criticize a teammate or a former coach somewhere along the way or a guy you got a relationship with, and I'm just going to be interested to see if they're willing to do it.
Damian
Lillard does something that CJ McCollum does not agree with, is he going to rip him?
Why? What do you care? Patrick Beverley just got done doing that.
Because it means more when it comes from CJ McCollum than it does Stephen A. Smith, in my mind.
Patrick Beverley just got done doing that.
Hey, Dan, it's Billy. Yeah, Stugatz is 100% right. JJ and CJ don't seem to quite understand the assignment when they go on First
Correct.
Take. We're not watching First Take for nuance. We're not watching for facts. We're not watching for statistics. We're watching for a debate that can't be proven because you need a time machine to prove it. And we don't have one of those right now. So that's what we need. And we need them to go on there and rip their former teammates and just bring a poison in a vial. Not these numbers and this perspective. Totally not what the show is. Back to you.
Thank you, Billy, for what I thought was an update, but was instead just your opinion. Stugatz waggles his fingers at me and says, I don't care what you say, Dan. The take is here to stay because he needs it to be here
Yes. So
that he can continue declining fantasy opportunities from Bristol because the take is still a relevant thing. Stugatz will go to the grave saying the take is here to stay no matter how many times more credible people try to destroy it. They will not. Stugatz also needs to age in a field where people are making money and he will not let go here.
That is correct. I need the hot take to stick around. I don't know. What do you think? Like maybe another 5 years?
It's up to you, buddy. I don't know when you're going to retire. You need to outlast
the
death.
Just in general.
What dies first, the take or Stugatz? Because I do feel, not unlike Joe Paterno, once they take the job at the end.
Jopa.
If take is gone, Stugatz is too. Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. If you take away the take, have you killed Stugatz?
I don't want to live in a world where there's no takes.
Stugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel, and I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Don Levitard.
At the end of our conversation with Alex Smith, and we talked for about 30 minutes, but I feel like nobody is going to remember anything about that conversation other than how you fell flat at the end with your very last word. Listen to how Stugatz here at the end of this interview says goodbye, oh, no. Just exhausted, to Alex Smith.
Thanks, Alex.
Stugatz.
What happened? Alish?
I'm exhausted. I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I've gotten a lot of complaints recently, Stugatz, on you're supposed to be our golf expert, and then you say things, and Fincham is retired 8 years ago after you reference him. No, I'm just
wrong.
Saying.
I was wondering about
no, but
that.
This, no, but a lot
I got
of people.
His name wrong.
No,
sorry.
A lot of people have been saying, though, you go to Stugatz Finchy. As your golf expert, and he doesn't actually know as much as he used to know because. There are holes in his game, and you should get people on who know more about golf.
There are no holes in my game. I'm speaking for myself and how I enjoy golf. Okay?
18 holes.
Fincham, I mean, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Jesus, they're always out there for me. But I got
like that is his name.
Yes.
He was once the PGA commissioner.
I know.
He was just last commissioner in 2016.
All right, it doesn't matter. Like, you'll pick at anything, you'll find the thing I said wrong. My overall point was right. I don't care how many guys, and now DeChambeau looks like he's leaving for this thing. It looks like Patrick Reed is also leaving for this thing. The courses do matter. The PGA Tour does matter. The only thing I care about, I really don't care where they play the rest of the year. It doesn't matter to me. I am honed in and focused on four tournaments every single year. I have been my entire life. I will be for the remainder of my life. It's the majors. It's the only thing I care about. And as long as those fields are good, I'm good.
This is you, though, at the center, Stugatz, of, I mean, what has happened in golf, the sport of your preference, is somebody is coming for the kingdom, Stugatz. It's Greg, and you can sit here and stand in the middle of it and say,
sure,
it will never work, but billions of dollars are going to be spent in coming after the construct you've loved all your life. And now this Saudi league, the Live League, is back on its feet. The words didn't matter of Mickelson, of Norman, the scandal, the noise. They bought their way out of that. And now here comes Mickelson, looking more cocainey than Donald Trump Jr. in the
weird
photographs.
Yes.
And we know that look in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Those pictures
those eyeballs
of Phil Mickelson.
He'd blend right in. Yeah.
Phil Mickelson, Jessica, you noticed this too. We all did. He was giving off a vibe of desperate degenerate. I need that Saudi money. I'm getting in the game. I don't care how I get that blood money. And they're coming after the PGA, Stugatz. The people who, they think they built that place instead of that place built them. And now they're here to wreck it.
They are, and but Dan, it won't wreck it for me, is what I'm trying to say.
But I'm just saying you're in the middle of a golf fight.
No, but understand something. Yeah, I understand. Okay, so maybe, you know, the field of the Memorial won't be as good as it once was. I never cared about it anyway. Most golf fans don't care about it. The U.S. Open is an open invitational. The Open Championship is an open invitational.
But do you speak for all sports fans when you're just caring about the Masters on this?
Well, it's not just the Masters. It's the Open Championship, the U.S. Open, and the PGA. Yes.
Are you speaking?
I believe so, for most.
I think Stugatz is, but it still remains to be seen how this will impact the four majors.
Right.
We don't know. I mean, we know in 2 weeks, Phil will be in the U.S. Open, right?
And so will Dustin.
And so will DJ.
Yes.
But we don't know yet about the rest of the majors. They're going to have to make some sort of stance. And the way that they're caught up in it is that they don't want to piss off the PGA. They also want to have the top guys play at their tournaments. They can do whatever they want, technically, because they run their own events. But it remains to be seen how it's going to impact the four majors.
The PGA Championship, they control. And that's one of the four majors. So they're probably not going to let those guys play if they're playing in the Live Tour, on the Live Tour. The Opens are open invitationals. Where it really gets interesting, and you're right,
is the Masters.
That's the one they care about the most. They all want to play it, right? So does Augusta stand by the PGA Tour and say, hey, if you're playing there, you can't play here? That's going to be interesting, because then those guys will have decisions to make. Right now, they don't. If they want to take the money, go ahead, take the money. I mean, I
think Stugatz does speak for golf fans also, because this new league doesn't even have a television partner yet. So they're not doing it for conventional golf fans who want to watch matches. They're streaming it on YouTube right now.
Well, I would presume that they want to eventually earn the credibility and shed the this is all Saudi back
that's
at
not,
some point.
I don't think that's why the networks don't want to get involved. I think the networks have a relationship with the PGA Tour. and they want to maintain.
There's some networks that don't. Like Amazon Prime doesn't have a relationship, and people were talking about why aren't they?
Yeah,
or Apple Plus.
That's not a network though. That's a streaming
like
network.
CBS
not,
and NBC have relationships with the PGA Tour. CBS, NBC, and I think Fox did at one point. They no longer do.
I think Fox maybe will be the one that
Fox
ends
has
up,
nothing,
ends up doing it because it sounds like they might be interested. They're the only network that doesn't currently have a golf deal.
But so that's I don't think you speak for all golf fans because I just looked up the ratings. 2.3 million people watched the Sunday at the Memorial this past weekend.
Now, that's one of the bigger tournaments.
I understand, but that's still a lot of golf fans that are watching week in and week out.
No
that,
doubt.
That their opinions
but
matter here.
They weren't watching it for who even won the Memorial.
I don't know.
I think it was Billy Horschel won it.
Right. I mean, like, the golfers that are in this new tournament aren't people... And this is aside from Bryson and Patrick Reed, who announced that they're going to the new tour, like, literally this morning. But up until this morning, I don't think there are many golfers in the new league that people tune in just to see.
But what's
like,
the critical mass
Sergio
is the
Garcia.
Question. Like, is there a critical mass that comes where it's DeChambeau, it's Patrick Reed, then who, if Roy McIlroy joins, and if Ricky Fowler joins, and if...
Ricky might join. He said...
I think Ricky's next.
He's probably going to.
So what happens when you reach that critical mass and you're just watching a tournament that has a name, but... it doesn't have any golfers that you actually are that linked to or care about.
That hasn't happened yet, though.
It hasn't happened.
I know it hasn't happened yet, though, but we're on our way. Like, DeChambeau and Patrick Reed, like, that actually hit me a little bit. Like, I know that DeChambeau is a name.
Well, now you start stacking. It's DeChambeau, and it's Reed, and it's Dustin Johnson, and now you have your... It seems like you're headed towards a place where you have, you know, a legit field every single week, you know?
But,
which is big. That's big early on from a credibility standpoint. I'm just telling you, for me, I realize 2.5 million people watched. For me, check the ratings of the majors, by the way. I guarantee you it goes up like 5 million, right? Like 7 million people are watching those. I only care about those four tournaments. And as long as I'm not affected, they're not affected, I'm good. I don't care where those guys play. Doesn't matter to me if they play the John Deere Classic, you know?
We had an update, but it's gone to commercial break, so... Mad Dog started getting into it with J.J. Redick saying fundamentally NBA players are not better than they used to be and said that Tim Duncan went to college for 4 years. You're telling me that anyone is better at fundamentals that hasn't gone to college for 4 years? Then J.J. was saying that's ridiculous. And then he said, you're telling me the players now are fundamentally better than Larry Bird, to which J.J.'s head almost exploded because he picked Larry Bird as the example of who it is that the contemporary players would be compared to. After that, J.J. apologized to Stephen A. for raising his voice at him on Get Up. We missed that because we didn't see Get Up today, so I don't know what happened there. Stephen A. said it was totally fine, and J.J. called them old heads. Now, coming up after the break, Mad Dog's going to give us his A-list of NBA's toughest players.
Wow. Active or all-time?
Wow. Has to be all-time.
Has to be all-time.
Toughest players.
Will there be any current players
will
on
there
the
be
list?
Any pictures
no.
Will there be any pictures that aren't in black and white?
No.
I doubt that sincerely. All right.
Well, let's try to guess, man. I would like to try to guess Mad Dog's list. I mean, just based on what we know about Mad Dog, it's going to be all from the 80s and all Celtics, right?
Oh, I was going to chuck Rick Mahorn in there.
He's definitely in there.
Rick Mahorn's definitely in there. I'm going number three. I'm there on Rick Mahorn.
Wow.
Hey, doggy.
You've got all Celtics? Do Celtics have tough guys?
Robert Parrish.
Chief.
Not a... not a tough nickname.
The Chief?
The Chief.
Yeah, Chief. That's a great nickname.
He gives off toughness, Robert Parrish.
He does?
Even the nickname The Chief gives off
toughness. You guys think of Robert Parrish? You guys think Robert Parrish is going to make his top five tough list?
We'll find out after the commercial break, Dan.
He wasn't considered what Mahorn was considered. Chief was considered a great overall basketball player. I'm not even sure the guys who... I'm not sure... that great and tough are very often things that you'll find in the same list for whatever. There's greatness and then there's toughness. They're two different lists. Do you think I have this wrong? Like, you think they're going to be great players all over this list or a lot of Mahorns?
No, I think it's going to be a lot of Rick Mahorns. I think you're headed down the right path.
Just careful also saying the Chief wasn't tough. I mean,
remember, he beat the hell out of Bill Laimbeer in 1987. That was a big moment.
Laimbeer might be on that list.
No.
I think Laimbeer is going to be on the list.
As a dirty player? That's not tough. That was
tough,
just dirty.
Tough.
Wait,
these are not the same.
No, these are not the same lists. Are those the
Jerry
same
Sloan
lists?
Jerry Sloan might be on the list. Yeah.
You guys think tough and dirty are the same thing? I don't think those things are synonyms. Those are not synonyms.
But
I don't think it's dirty. I think it's tough. I think it's Rick Mahorn.
But
Rick Mahorn
was tough. Bill Laimbeer was so tough that he can be considered dirty.
Wow.
So.
Right. Anthony Mason, perhaps?
The fine line between tough and dirty.
I think Lambeer was associated as being tough. Like, yeah. Whenever anyone chucks out that, you know, modern superstars couldn't crack it in the 80s, it was because, well, you had to go through Bill Lambeer beating the shit out of you,
but
right?
It was not, it wasn't just Lambeer. It was all the bad boys.
Vernon Maxwell, Xavier McDaniel.
Oh, that's a good one.
See, those are, yes, Vernon Maxwell went into the stands and punched a customer, but that would not be something that Mad Dog would put on his list.
Oakley is a lock.
For sure.
A lock of locks.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. This is exciting.
But not a great player. I don't think.
No.
Okay.
Anyone after the year 2000? Anyone?
No.
Artest?
Ben Wallace?
Udonis Haslam?
Udonis Haslam.
Did Rodman play into 2000?
I think so, yeah.
Might have done.
Yeah. Zach Randolph?
Ben Wallace?
Zebo.
Zebo, he's not going to be on the
list.
He's
not going to
be on the list. I've never been so excited for a list.
Yeah. Okay, well, Billy, really, get back out there,
true.
Billy. That's which part's not true? That he's never been more excited by a list?
Yeah, every list is
Yes,
exciting.
He says that for every list.
Yeah, but this one.
Dan, this is a big list. You would agree. Everyone's been talking about Draymond and his toughness. Now we're going to finally find out. Is he on Mad Dog's A list of toughest NBA players?
I do love that the analysis for 3 days of the NBA Finals. This is, Stugatz, it's fairly amazing what a lightning rod Draymond Green is. As a person who's running around out there passing a bunch and just getting in everyone's way. As the basketball is beautiful by Steph Curry, and you do love Draymond Green. He is a badass, but the way that he is getting attention in this series over 3 days is because we got to talk about something, and he will do.
Yep. I mean,
it's unbelievable. Like, you talk about how sometimes where you say athletes, I don't remember anything that they've said, and Draymond has like 4 in 1 press conference. It's unbelievable. Like, I try and go through like all the headlines and stuff from the day, and there's like five a day whenever Draymond does a press conference. Like, it is the economy upon which basketball reporters feed at the moment.
And he's making it his own. I don't know how you feel about this, Stugatz. I know I've talked about it too much recently, but the idea that the athlete is now coming for the take, too, is interesting to me. As you see a media climate shift, a streaming content climate shift, as everyone fights over money, and those guys are good getting to the top 1% of that sport fighting over money, Stugatz, and they want some of this money.
Yes.
They want the microphones. They want the things that will change, that will make the media evolve.
They want the microphones, they want to give opinions, and they're probably, most of them, tired of hearing people who have never done what they did for a living talk about what it is they did for a living.
Oh, but I think that's secondary. I actually think first on the list what they're tired of is others being able to monetize their brand when they can monetize their own brand.
Right.
But they're
sitting on ESPN doing it. It's not like...
Oh, you still need ESPN Tell because we're in the middle of the transition. Yeah. We are in the middle of what the transition looks like on how do you take ESPN away from ESPN. You do it piece by piece, but a CJ McCollum and a JJ Redick will swim upstream. JJ Redick won't be there in 3 years.
No.
JJ Redick will have his own thing. He will just use the platform to get...
CJ already has his own thing.
Actually, JJ Redick already has his own thing.
He's so does CJ.
He's using ESPN as a tool.
I still don't think there's a megaphone as big as it, though. Like,
for now.
But there's 400,000 people that are watching First Take. Like, no matter how big podcasts get or watching clips online, like, there's nothing that's that big of a megaphone whenever you open your mouth. Like... You can have clips that go viral, but just like the doing of a show, there's nothing like that. Or even for active athletes, the press conference. I know that this sounds ridiculous, but Draymond made 3 headlines from 1 press conference. 1, Draymond Green to Grant Williams, quote, "You're not me, you want to be me." 2, Draymond Green goes on enjoyable rant about wannabe enforcers from 80s and 90s.
So good.
Headline 3, Draymond Green showed love to an NBA journalist for his honesty, and it was very cool to see.
Draymond Green shows courtesy is a headline for thanking
Says nice
him for
thing
context.
About media member.
Thanks him for context. Papa, you love Draymond Green, right?
Yeah. He's a badass. I don't care what anybody says. He turned that game around, buddy, I'm telling you, and now the Celtics, they have their hands full with that guy.
Yes.
That's right.
I want to give you some names that I think are a lock to be on Mad Dog's list.
All right. We're going to have to wait because Mad Dog's list is going to be the post game. We're going to tease it till the very end here.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, so I can't give the names yet?
No, go ahead, but set us up.
So your list will go now, but the actual list will hold for later.
I'm not saying this is the list. I'm just saying expect some of these names to be on that list. Paul Silas. Willis Reed.
The good ones.
Maurice Lucas.
It's a solid list.
Bob Lanier.
Too good a player.
You might be right.
Lucas, too, probably.
Buck Williams.
A fine list. We will find out what Mad Dogs is next.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me. We love to travel, and I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.